afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy hump day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're doing it the best of your ability. I don't know why I'm all fired up, but I am. Let's go, people. Got to get through this slog of an offseason. We are 3 weeks away from the Green Bay Packers taking Nitschke Field, getting ready for the 2026 season. And all eyes, yes, all eyes, will be on one Jordan Morgan, Packers offensive lineman, drafted essentially as a left tackle, but has been asked to play essentially everywhere but and center. They haven't thrown him in at center yet, which is nice. Thank you, Green Bay Packers coaching staff. But all eyes will be on Jordan Morgan. You talk about maybe not carrying the heaviest burden heading into camp. A lot of guys with a lot to prove. But, man, coming off a season where the offensive line was as bad as it was, and some of that component being driven by Rashid Walker's very poor final season in Green Bay, I know there's been a lot of talk, and there will continue to be a lot of discussion around Jordan Morgan's performance, how he does as hopefully an improvement upon Rashid Walker. And I understand people talking about, oh, it's a low bar. I mean, Rashid did still allow them to operate to the point where they were still a top 10 to top five offense, depending on the metric you're looking at. Jordan Morgan isn't just going to come in there and be perfect. We all know this, right? There will be growing pains continuously. That is part of the gig in the NFL. But you can look at some of the stuff he did both last summer and then, yes, at right tackle at times last season and get glimpses of his potential. We all know, we've talked about it quite a bit, the Packers haven't done him any favors by continuously moving him around. They've played him a ton at both right and left guard. Don't think that's been very, very beneficial for the young man. And it's at odds with what they talked about when they drafted him, both that draft weekend, but then that rookie year, that summer at training camp. I remember both Matt LaFleur and Stenovich talking about, nope, he is a tackle. We drafted him as a tackle. We're going to play him at tackle. And it was kind of the same route that they went with Anthony Belton last year, as far as, no, we're going to run him at tackle all summer long. He is a tackle. And then when things happen in season, well, we're going to throw him in at guard, which is what happened, if you'll remember, Morgan's rookie year. Now, he had dealt with a shoulder injury in training camp, had bounced back from that, and then was inserted at right guard. And then essentially after, I think it was two games, got shut down because of that shoulder, re-injuring it. And from that moment on, it has been musical chairs for the young man. And again, I don't think that's done his development any favors. Now, some of that's driven by necessity. Some of that's driven by injuries and especially the in-game stuff. I understand having to get bodies in there, right? But it was always weird to me that some of the reasoning that we heard from 1265 Lombardi is, well, you want to get him on the field. Well, have him play left tackle. I understand Rashid Walker was your starter at the time, but it's always been weird to me how they deferred to Walker no matter what at left tackle. None more weird than last summer. We all remember Walker went down with an injury and Jordan Morgan stepped in at left tackle and played well, both in training camp practices and in preseason games. He played well, and then the job was given back to Rashid Walker when he was healthy, which never, again, I understand people talk about, oh, you can't lose your job because of injury. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. People do it all the time, in the NFL in particular. It was that, and then Brian Gutekunst legit talking about it at his end of season presser, saying, oh, I thought Jordan played well enough to be the starter. But why wasn't he the starter? He's the former first round pick. And you're acquiescing to this seventh rounder who, yeah, got you through when David Bakhtiari went down, certainly got the best out of that investment. But it was always weird to me, especially last year, how they flat out just were steadfast that Rashid Walker had to continue to play left tackle, no matter how poorly he was doing it. But finally, that's in the rearview mirror. Jordan Morgan gets to take over. I do think he is going to excel. I think he's going to be very, very good. Do I think he's going to become a perennial all-pro? doubtful. But I do think he is going to be a major improvement from Rashid Walker. And I think the noticeable uptick when it comes to the offensive output and or just taking to the air in general, giving Jordan Love the ball a little bit more, I think that's going to be a direct result of the fact that they're getting better play at the left tackle spot. Now, obviously, that's not the only thing that needs to happen. The entire line needs to play better. The entire protection unit, including the backs and the tight ends, all have to up their game on a more consistent basis. But it all starts there on the left side, on the blind side. And I do think we will see a notable improvement in that regard because of Jordan Morgan's ascendancy. And that all starts 3 weeks from now there, Reinicke Field. Cannot wait to be there. Cannot wait for this Packers season. Speaking of waiting for this Packers season, one thing that helps you get through the summer, gets you through training camp, because we get all excited. Packers are back. It's training camp. And then like a week in, it's like, can we get to the games already? But to help you get through that stretch, each and every year, we are proud to partner with the official Packers yearbook. That's right. You can pre-order your copy right now at PackersYearbook.com. There's also a link in the description of this video. Go there. Use promo code CHTV for 10% off your copy of the 2026 Packers Yearbook, the official Packers Yearbook, which of course means you get treated to the writing style of one Wes Hodquitz for your viewing pleasure. Shout out, Wes. All the stuff in the yearbook is phenomenal. Spofford does great work. All the photographs are incredible. The layout, the graphic design. Make sure you get your copy. I got my copy coming to me soon, and I am thrilled. I get it each and every year. I'm old school. You guys know I'm an old head. That's the way it is. But I can't wait to get my hands on the 2026 official Green Bay Packers yearbook, and you can too. PackersYearbook.com. Use code CHTV. How we doing, folks? Look at all these fine. Doug Hype is here, people. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Doug Hype is in the house. Good to see you, Doug. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. If you need Green Bay Packers tickets, use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video. You guys know I also got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Injuries happen, but ThetaCare walk-in orthopedic care helps you recover like a pro. Don't let pain sideline you. With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, expert care is ready now. No appointment needed, just walk in. Learn more at thetacare.org/orthonow. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, how we doing? How we living? How we learning? How we loving? Let's go. Harps Harper Jr., that is a hell of a name. Go Pack Go. Now, you see, the simple ones are the best ones. That's what I always find, you know? Well done, sir. Well done. Right off the bat here, shout out, Carrie. Thanks so much for becoming a Carrie the G Club member here on YouTube. Really appreciate the support. Thank you so much. Hope we see you at Happy Hour next week. That's right. If you are a Care of the G Club member, you do get access to Happy Hour each and every week. And yes, even through the offseason, we are having happy hours. We had a lively session last night. Doug Hype even stuck around. It was amazing. E4, how you doing, buddy? When I run FIFA today, will be a game of merit day. Cape Verde versus Somalia would be a fun watch. Yeah, it would be nice to have maybe a runner-up kind of pool, so to speak, have this day dedicated to that. Because, yeah, not having a match for the first time in, like, 20 days or something, it's pretty tough. Pretty tough to get through. Ooh, Gooseby, starting us off with some positivity. I kid, I am sarcastic. Think Morgan will be mediocre this year. I disagree. Now, again, I don't think he's going to be an all-pro instantly, but I think he is going to be noticeably better than the play we've gotten at left tackle, and I think he'll be significantly, noticeably better than a mediocre left tackle. That's just my opinion. Your mileage may vary. New York Cheese said, yes, he did. Didn't Rashid sign anywhere? He signed with the Panthers after sitting out there on the market for a surprisingly long time. He signed a one-year deal with the Panthers, and they also continued to add at the position. Now, they had a guy, a vet I know, who was coming off of injury, so they needed to kind of solidify it with some reinforcements. But yeah, Rashid is anything but a lock to even make that roster, considering that you'll have some competition there in camp coming out of the summer. Who knows? Maybe he ends up there long term and he plays out of his mind and gets a contract long term. Entirely possible. But right now, yes, he's on a 1-year deal with the Carolina Panthers, who do come to Lambeau later this season. But we will see him. What else we got here, folks? Harps, what's up? How about them Brewers, Aaron? How about those Brewers? How about sweeping the Cardinals? Let's go. Come on. Getting a doubleheader in the bag. Absolutely love it. Churio batting left-handed. Let's do it, people. Absolutely loving this summer from the Brewers. Doug, what's up? Aaron Campman drinks Carry the G. I hope that's true. I hope that's the case. And funnily enough, speaking of Aaron Campman, most likely driven by Corey's question last night on Happy Hour, which was then put on the YouTube channel here on my the post page, Corey asked, will LVN be better than Aaron Campman? And almost everybody to a person on Happy Hour immediately started shaking their head. No. Overwhelmingly, the vote on YouTube here is no. Man, not a lot of faith out there for LVN. But a lot of faith that Aaron Campman drinks Carry the G. Let's put it that way. Come on now. Joe, thank you for being a Carry the G Club member. Really appreciate it, man. Would be nice to have a pair of really good bookend tackles again. Haven't really had that since 2019 with Bakhtiari and Bulaga, in my humble opinion. I mean, that's, you talk about an embarrassment of riches. That's a pretty good bookend, right? And yes, it would be lovely. And it is wild to see the public perception of the Packers' projections when it comes to the offensive line, because I understand they were bad last year, right? There's no question. They were way too inconsistent, and you can't hide that. That's all on tape. But, man, I've seen both national and even some local folks talking about how this offensive line is going to be one of the worst, not just in the league, but that the Packers have fielded in a long time, etc. Man, I don't know. I definitely don't see that. Now, I understand I'm a cockeyed optimist when it comes to the green and gold. I see through green and gold glasses, etc. But, man, yeah, I think there's a lot of talent there, and I do think Morgan will be a significant upgrade and be, hopefully, the start of that kind of bookend era with Zach Tom. That would be great. Jim, that it is pretty simple, but you are right. Offensive line, stay healthy. It is a big component, and it was part of the downfall last year. There's zero doubt about that. The way they had to continuously juggle guys, juggle bodies, and not just from week to week, but in game. I mean, I think sometimes people forget Zach Tom goes down in that week one contest against Detroit, you know, misses the Washington game on Thursday and then comes back and lasts all of one play against the Browns. Yeah, that was just one example of how many times they had to juggle guys, you know, have a whole week with preparation with this five set to be your starters or, you know, guys you're going to lean on. And then suddenly someone goes down. Aaron Banks was in and out of the lineup, as you know. So just lots of juggling. Belton played both tackle and guard. It's hopefully, yes, we get some continuity due to at least, now you don't want to say a lack of injuries because you know someone's going to get banged up at some point. That's just the gig, right? But yeah, hopefully they're a little bit healthier and they get a little bit luckier there. Complicated. What's up, man? Packers do any major upgrades to the Packer campus or stadium, or are they waiting on getting agreement with the city of Green Bay? I know the lease negotiation has been at least taking place behind closed doors now, though it feels like they're at a good spot when it comes to that. As far as noticeable upgrades or changes or anything like that, I know that they're always working on Lambeau in some capacity, one way or the other, and I know they've been doing a lot of work in various different areas around the stadium, including, you know, we talked about when the player grades came out, they had already started work on overhauling a lot of the facilities where the guys train. I know the media entrance and all of that stuff has been completely changed. We all saw the new media auditorium that LaFleur was and Gutekunst were both in earlier this offseason. So they've been doing a lot of internal stuff. As far as like public facing things, I haven't seen too many updates about that, but I'll find out when I'm in town in a couple weeks. Very, 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 very excited about it. Mike Witt, how are you, buddy? The big question of the year will be, will Soder be wearing the Trey Smack jersey? Random Packers legend, Robbie Bosco. Well, we will start to get those answers when we report to camp and the kid starts having to make the kicks. Now, for everyone who isn't aware, who isn't up to date on the lore here at Cheesehead TV's YouTube channel, Trey Smack has to make his first six kicks. It's not first six field goals. First six kicks in the regular season, not preseason, not training camp, in the regular season. Once they go to Minnesota, their week one, Trey Smack hits his first six kicks in a row. And Soder, the number one Eeyore in Cheesehead TV land, will purchase a Trey Smack jersey. We're very excited. We're very excited to watch that happen. Go Pack, what's up, man? Do you think we will be a worse team this year? I do not, and I do know that that is a prevailing sentiment nationally, certainly, and even with some Packers fans, because of the perceived loss of, they call it, a loss of talent, and certainly there are guys who have produced for the Packers that have walked out the door. But I think, for the most part, they've done a really good job of making sure that there are guys in the pipeline to take over who are ascending and becoming the talent that they're going to need to win football games. You look at Romeo Doubs signing in New England. Well, here comes your former first-round pick, Matthew Golden, not to mention a guy they chose on day two in Savion Williams, right, to kind of bolster them in that regard. You undoubtedly are talking about the idea of, okay, we've lost Quay Walker. Well, they traded for Zaire Franklin, who I understand had a bit of a down year with the Colts, but should be a better fit in this defense with Jonathan Gannon being what he's asked to do, etc. They're just kind of down the line here when you talk about the roster, and certainly no team is perfect. Always have holes that you're going to have to try and support, paper over, what have you. But I also think they've got a ton of continuity on offense. If their offensive line can be a little better, which I suspect it will be, they're going to be cooking on offense, and they can score points on anybody. And it will come down to that defense essentially, maybe not learning on the job, but trying to gel there in a new scheme without Micah. But when Micah gets back, they'll be cooking with gas, be ready to really tear it up. Because hopefully at that point, you know, they've gotten into a groove and they know the scheme, like the back of their hand, they're working well together, they're communicating well, etc. Now, all this can fall apart because of injuries. We've seen that. Hell, we saw it last year with the Packers. And that's the great kind of equalizer when it comes to the NFL. But I believe in the young talent that they have coming up. Your mileage may vary, but if you're a believer in this young talent ascending into the starting roles and being counted on, the core group that they've assembled, yeah, I don't see them being worse. Joe, is July the worst month? Read this if yes. Feels like it has 72 days to it. It's only lessened by the fact that, the World Cup is going on. But, you know, that doesn't help you if you don't like watching the World Cup. Oh, wow. What a question. Who disappointed more this past year, Pulisic or Gary? Wow. Damn. That's a tough one. I'll probably say Pulisic. And that was fuck. That was a bad look. That whole tournament run, really. Yeah, no, that was incredibly disappointing for the guy who was supposed to be the face of this U.S. team. Yeah, it was a disaster, right? And look, I'm not saying Gary was great shakes, but at least he started well. Last season, don't forget, you know, he tore up opposing offenses, took advantage of having Micah opposite him. stormed to 7 sacks and then just chilled. And for whatever reason, disappeared. So, yeah, both disappointing, no doubt about it. But I would give the nod to Pulisic for more disappointing. Mike, thanks again, man. Next, have you always been an optimist when it comes to the Packers? Just curious, because it was really hard to be an optimist in the 80s growing up. That's what formed it, though. And it's funny you ask this. I just talked about this with a buddy of mine who is an eternal pessimist when it comes to the Packers. Yeah, man, that's the formation of my positivity and my optimism, if you will. Simply because I know how horrible it can be. It's called context, right? I understand that it's frustrating if the Packers don't win the Super Bowl, and I understand that it's frustrating when you watch them blow chances to do so, especially when they do it in such excruciating ways. But yeah, watching Randy Wright, that gives you a little perspective in life. And like, wow, I get to watch Jordan Love every week. I got to watch Aaron fucking Rodgers in the height of his powers. I watched Brett fucking Favre win 3 MVPs in a row and lead them to a Super Bowl championship and another one the next year, which they lost. But man, I'd much rather take this than everything I went through in the 70s and 80s. I'll tell you that. So, yeah, I don't know. Call me an optimist, but that's what forms it. That's the bedrock of why I am optimistic. And look, only one team wins the Super Bowl. It's disappointing when they don't. It's heartbreaking the way they have bowed out of some of these playoff runs, but I'll take this every single time over all the shit we went through for those decades in the 70s and 80s. And I understand there's a school of thought out there that says, just suck for 10 years and then come back to... No. No, no, no. No. Absolutely not. You know, I want a chance every single year. I want the Packers to be good every year. I want them to have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl every year. And they do. That's phenomenal to me. I love it. And then, oh, the only one, that's my favorite. The only one, 2 Super Bowls. And I got to watch them both. I watched both of them. When I was growing up, man, when they made a playoff game, it was like a Super Bowl. Because I thought it would never happen. Yeah, man, can't take it away from me. I watched my team win the Super Bowl twice. Twice! Outstanding. Hopefully I'll get to watch them do it again. A couple times. And that's why I'm optimistic. That's how I live. That's where I reside. That's just me. I mean, damn, man, I got to watch Magic after watching David Whitehurst. Come on, how can you not be optimistic about the future, where the Packers are heading? Let's go. And with that said, I'm going to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.